So her family hired a plastic surgeon to change the contour of her nose. He did his work, and then there came the moment when they took off the bandages so that the girl could see what happened with the surgery. When the doctor removed the bandages, he saw that the operation had been a total success. All the ugly contours around her nose were gone. Her nose was completely different. And when the incisions healed and the redness disappeared, she would be a beautiful girl. So he held the mirror up for her to see, and she could look into the mirror to reveal the truth. But she was so deeply embedded was this girl's ugly self-image of herself, that what she saw in the mirror, didn't she think it wasn't any change? She broke down into tears, and she cried out, "Oh, I just knew it wouldn't work." The doctor labored for hours to persuade that girl for 6 months that she was not ugly and that the change had been different. And it took her 6 months so she would finally accept the fact that she was different. And when the moment she accepted that fact that she was really different, her whole behavior began to change. You know, that can be true of us, that we tend to react according to our view of ourselves. How we see ourselves can often affect our outlook and how we live. And we arrive to this part of Romans, which is a glorious chapter. Romans chapter 8 is a delight. It is a glorious chapter of Scripture. It begins with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. A chapter where Paul is sharing with us the glorious victory that we have in Jesus. Chapter 7, we saw that Paul's defeat as he sought to live in his own strength and conquer sin, and he kept failing time and time again with that war that was raging within him. We get to chapter 8, and we see Paul living in great victory and celebrating the hope that we have because of the difference that the Holy Spirit makes in our life when we yield to him and he takes possessions of us. Chapter 8 tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. That not only can we conquer, we are more than that. And we have the victory and the hope that is ours. We're going to be spending about 6 weeks in this chapter because it is so rich of what it has to teach us in the weeks ahead. But we are no longer to live a defeated life. When that girl looked at herself in the mirror, she was so convinced that she was still ugly, and that was in her mindset, and she couldn't clear it, and she lived that way till she was finally saw through the mirror the truth who she really was. And we can live a defeated life, and we can carry around a lot of guilt in our life and be down on ourselves if that's the image we have of ourselves or what we believe and don't accept the reality of God's word. But we hold up the reality of the truth of God's word and let the mirror of his word shine on us this morning. And we'll see that we no longer have to live with guilt anymore, because there's good news of what Jesus has done for us. In the book of Romans, Paul has been sharing with us how that righteousness of God has been received. And we're in this chapter where we're learning how to live out this righteousness and to grow in it and have our faith become more like Jesus and our life become more like him as we are sanctified and changed into his image. So knowing who you are, no longer living defeated, no longer being discouraged, is where God wants us to be. So because of your justification by faith, because of being saved by faith, Paul says there are two things that are no longer true of you this morning. That I pray that when you leave this place this morning, you can celebrate the fact of who you are in Jesus, of your identity in him, and two things that are no longer true of you that maybe when you came in this morning, Satan liked to hold you down and with. And the first one is this. Praise God that because of Jesus, there is no longer condemned for sin. Praise God for that. No longer condemned for sin. We sang these hymns this morning, and the reason why I chose them is because it talked about that. Our guilt is gone. What happens whenever the moment we are saved? That condemnation is taken away. Notice what he says. Therefore, that therefore points back to everything he has told us before this. All that we've learned in Romans, this point. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done. Therefore, because of being justified by faith, not by works. Because of the work of Jesus on the cross and our acceptance of that. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. That's the key. There's no condemnation for you and your sin because we are in Christ. For those who are in Christ, our sin has been dealt with. Jesus took it away, and he nailed it to the cross, and he has set us free. And we can rejoice in that. We don't have to bear the burden anymore. We are free in Christ because Jesus set us free from the law of sin and death. He says that in verse 1 and 2 here. He says, Christ has set us free, me free from the law of sin and the law of death. So we don't need to fear his wrath anymore because the Lord, through Christ, looks at you. The Father looks at you through the Son and he sees you through the blood of the Son and covering over your sin and no longer condemns us for it. Set free from that law of the Old Testament law which brought death, and the wages of sin, Paul told us, brought about death. And death came as a result of sin. But we are no longer under that condemnation. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. Just go back almost to the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. John writing says, God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We don't have to fear when we stand before the Lord or when we draw near him. His wrath or his, that he will accept us because of what Jesus has done. We don't have to face his judgment anymore. We are forgiven. We are pardoned. We are set free and declared not guilty. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And we all know John 3, 16. And Jesus had shared those words with Nicodemus, the ruler, member of the ruling council, when he came to Jesus asking how to be saved. And Jesus shared those words, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But listen to what he says right after that. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, for whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of his one, God's one and only Son. See, we were born with the guilty sentence of condemnation over us. But the moment you were saved, that was taken away. And we have been set free. And we are no longer condemned anymore. We don't have to bear that guilt. We don't have to bear the burden of that anymore. We've been set free and it's been removed from us. The burdens were lifted at Calvary and we were let free. That's rejoicing in our heart. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're told that when we stand before him someday, that books will be open. And if our name is found written in that Lamb's Book of Life, he says, enter into my joy forever. And when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we discover later on in this book that there is, later on in this chapter, there is nothing in heaven, nothing on earth below, nothing we can ever do that can ever separate us from God's love. And when our name's written in that book, it's there. And we have that assurance. And we have that confidence. No condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus. He set us free from the law of death. We have life. And we can rejoice in that. We don't have to fear. But see, Satan condemns. And he likes to make us feel bad. And even after we're believers and we all know we still struggle with sin. And last week in chapter 7 we saw that Paul struggled with sin many, many times. And we will still fail. And we will still fall into sin and we will still fall. But when we do, Satan likes to come and condemn us. And whenever we fail the Lord, if you hear a word of condemnation in your ear speaking to you, condemnation, like there you go again. You claim to be such a great child of God or a Christian, and look what you did. Look what you did. You just messed up again. And we hear those words of condemnation. Where is that coming from, friends? Remember that that's coming from the enemy, Satan. Because God does not condemn you anymore. The Spirit will convict us, and the Spirit will lovingly prompt us to repent and to confess it. But he will no longer condemn us anymore. And those words of condemnation, and if you hear a message of condemnation in your heart, know where it's coming from. Know it's from the enemy. And don't listen to that, and don't let him bring you in feelings of guilt. Because God's grace sets us free. And we are redeemed. That's the difference. No more condemnation anymore. Set free. There is a story on a Sunday morning can be a very busy time trying to get ready, especially if you had kids to get ready. And this mother was trying to get her four-year-old ready for church on a Sunday morning. If you ever had to get a four-year-old or a small child ready for church, you know that can be a challenge. So she was getting her four-year-old ready. She got him all ready, dressed, bathed, dressed up, ready to go. And she set him in front of the TV and told him, sit right here in front of the TV. Don't move from that spot till I get myself ready and everything, and then we'll go to church. You stay right here, watch TV, and don't move. The mother went on to get herself ready, and the little boy soon became distracted by something outside. So he went out to investigate what he saw outside. In the process, he fell down in the mud, wiped his hands on his nice clothes, and in the front of his pants, he scratched his nose, wiped off his hair, and then he found himself covered from mud from head to foot. Thinking nothing of it, he went back and sat down in front of the TV. Needless to say, when his mother came back, she was a little hurt and upset by his behavior. She had him all cleaned up, and he had soiled himself again. But what did she do? She informed him of what he had done wrong. She still loved him. He said, Mom, I'm sorry. He asked her forgiveness. She forgave him. And she got him cleaned up again, and they went to church together. And see, that's what the Lord does for us. He doesn't condemn us. When we do sin, and we come back and we repent, he puts his arms around us and said, I forgive you. It's okay. He lets us know where we're wrong. But he forgives us, doesn't condemn us, and restores us when we go on. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. We can be thankful for that. That's where grace comes in. So we are no longer condemned because he took set us free from the law of death, and he took the punishment that we deserve. He took the wrath and judgment of our sin upon himself. Verses 3 and 4. Say, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man. He became sin for us. He took the condemnation that we should have had upon himself. He took all of God's wrath poured out on him so that we could be set free. That is love. And that is amazing, that Jesus would do that for you and me, that God loved us that much, that he would take all of our sin upon himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And 1 Peter 2, 24 says, and he bore our sins, and his body on the cross. He became a curse for us so that we don't have to be. He took our place. Now, you know, the Kim and I love to go to the Smoky Mountains, and we love it down there. And Dreamer grew up in Appalachia and in West Virginia. I did in Western PA. But in Appalachia, southern mid-Appalachia, a lot of it was founded by the Scot-Irish. And the Scot-Irish had a tradition, or they had not really a tradition, it was a... not really tradition, it was what they believed of called a sin eater, a superstition more than anything, of what they called a sin eater. And the sin eater was a person, if someone in the community committed a horrible sin or died, they picked somebody in the community that would come and they would eat this ceremonial meal. And in doing that, they were like taking that person's sin upon themselves. And they would eat that person, this meal, and the person was supposed to be set free from their sin or absolved from this sin. But the sin eater bore that, and then they were separated from the rest of the community. And it was a superstition they had. But yet, Jesus, that's what he did. He took our sin upon himself, our place, and our suffering, so that we could go free. And he was separated. The Father had to turn his face away and could not look on him at that moment for you and for me. No longer condemned by sin. Good news. But Paul also goes on to tell us, secondly, that we are no longer controlled by sin either. We are no longer condemned by sin because we are in Christ. We are no longer controlled by sin because we possess the Holy Spirit. And that was the difference between chapter 7 and chapter 8. In chapter 8, Paul kept talking about his own strength. But we get to chapter 8 here, and he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what that nature desires. And last week, we talked about the two natures in conflict with each other. And they're in conflict with each other, but we're not controlled by sin when we live according to the power of the Holy Spirit. He takes up residence in us, and Paul goes on to say in verse 9 that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to him. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit came and lived and dwells in you. And he doesn't leave you, and he's always there, and his power and his residency is in you now. God living in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. The moment of salvation. Not later, but at that moment of salvation, he lives within us. And he is there empowering us, living within us to give us the ability that we don't have to be controlled by sin anymore. We can choose to submit to Christ. We can choose to yield to him instead of yielding to sin. The Spirit has given us a new mindset. Paul says that those who have the Spirit controlled by the sinful nature have their mindset on that. But when we are controlled by the Spirit, we have our mindset on what the Spirit desires. And he gives us that new mindset of a mindset to glorify him. Turn in Colossians chapter 3. Paul wrote to the church there in Colossae this. He told him about that new mindset where he said, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated in the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. The Holy Spirit gives us the mindset, the desire to serve God, to please him, to live in a way that makes God smile, to live in a way that brings joy to him as we seek to please and honor him in our life. That new mindset to live for Christ, not for ourselves. The Spirit has also given us a new allegiance. A new allegiance, verse 9, he says that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, Your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. We are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. That new allegiance that we have is not to be controlled by sin anymore, or live or do as we please, but our sin is no longer our master. Jesus is now our master. And he is the one we live for, and he is the one we serve. We no longer have to be controlled by sin anymore because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, enabling us to serve and to please our new master and to live for him. And the Spirit has given us a new power, a power that we have that as Paul fought the battle on his own, he failed time and time again. But the Spirit gives us the power that we can live in victory as we surrender to him. Verses 10 and 11 says that but in Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Paul says the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave and brought him from death to life again and brought on that resurrection morning is the same power that dwells in you. It's the same power that when God spoke, he created everything out of nothing. It's the same power at work in your life. That power that we can have to live for him and not to be controlled by sin and let sin master us. Instead, we live to master, serve our new master. So no longer are we condemned for sin. We can rejoice in that. It has been dealt with through Christ. But as believers as well, no longer should we be controlled by sin either, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, enabling us to live in victory each and every day as we follow him. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who live in Christ, who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have set us free, that we are no longer condemned anymore. Through your blood, you have set us free and you have paid the price. You have taken our place, Father, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you took our sins upon yourself, that we are no longer condemned, that we don't have to bear that guilt. And Satan likes to make us feel that we are. And just like that girl who thought she was ugly, she didn't realize who she really was and that she was royal and that her life was beauty. And Lord, Satan likes to make us feel that way too and remind us of who we really are, that we are children of the King and we are no longer condemned, but we are your children, belonging to you, saved by grace. And so, Father, may we not carry that guilt. Yes, when we sin, we confess it. You convict us of it, but you don't condemn us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace. And so, Lord, may we celebrate that release and that burden, that pardon has been granted and that condemnation has been taken away. But Lord, also you call us to be reminded that we no longer are to be controlled by sin, to let it master us, but instead we are to serve you, our new master, and to yield our life to you and not to what we want, not to our desires, but to yours. And you've given us the power and the ability to do that through your Spirit. So thank you, Lord, for what you've been teaching us in this book. And help us, Lord, not just to hear your word, but to receive it gladly, let it go down deep into our heart, where it produces the transformation and the change that you desire, that we would live in a way that honors you, that we would not just be hearers, but doers of the word as well. So transform us, renew our mind, through the power of your word at work within us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.